Okay, the boys say today's daf is daf nun, and we're holding the third line from the top of the Amud where the Gemara begins. Omar Reb Ilo'a Be'usha Hiskinu. Now this is the third time that we have Reb Ilo'a within the last daf, because if you go back to yesterday's Amud Beis, you'll find we had Reb Ilo'a there as well, telling us about what they were Masakin and Usha. But there's something interesting. Each time we mention Reb Ilo'a in connection with Usha, we have other Mandiyomrim. If you go back, Mem Tes Amud Beis, and specifically about 12 lines from the top. See the Toisis that says, Hu V'ishtoi. It's about 2 lines above that. It says, Amar Reb Ilo'a, Amar Eish Lakish, Mishum Reb Yehuda. On the side it says, Mishum Reb Yoisi Bar Chanina. So this was the first Rabbi Law, and notice he wasn't by himself. He was saying in the name of Reish Lakish, in the name of Rabbi Yosi Bar Chanina, about the fact that they were Mesakin, that one should go and be Mazin, one should give food to one's children, Kishem Tan. And then we had Takana number 2. Takana number 2, you have to go down to about 3/4 down the Amud. In the middle of the line, it says, Omer Rabbi Lo'a, Omer Reish Lakish. Here we didn't have 3 Mandiyama, we just have Rabbi Lo'a, Mishum Reish Lakish. And again, it says, Ba'usha Eskino, and this time it's a Koizu Kol Nechos of Labanavu, V'ishtein Nizoinim Mayhem. So that was Takana number 2 in Usha. So back in the first Takana was Rabbi Lo'a, Mishum Reish Lakish, Mishum Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina. Here it's just Rabbi Lo'a in the name of Reish Lakish. And now we come to the third Rabbi Lo'a. Notice Rabbi Lo'a is all on his own. He doesn't say in the name of Reish Lakish or anyone else. We're in the top of Nun Amud Aleph, third line, Brother Shai, welcome aboard. So Amar Rabbi Lo'a, Ba'usha Eskina, this is already the third Takana of Usha, and again, it's just Rabbi Lo'a on his own. And what does he say? Ha'mevazeh al-yevazeh yoytum mechaymish. A person wants to give tzedakah by all means, however limited to 1/5. Don't give more than 1/5. Why can't you give more than 1/5? Says Rashi, because if you give more than 1/5, maybe yitzarach lebriyos. If you give away too much of your own money for the poor, chas v'shalom, you won't have enough money for yourself. So therefore, up to 1/5. Tana mihachim avazes, ayivazes, yoyis mechoymish, not more than 1/5. Shem yitzarach lebriyos, as we just said. There was a person, in fact, who wanted to give more than 20%. And his chaver said, don't. Umanu, and who was that chaver that prevented him? Rabbi Yeshevav. The Amr, the others say, faket. Rabbi Yeshevav, umanu, Rabbi Akiva. That Rabbi Yeshevav was the one that wanted to spend and give to the Aniyah more than 1/5. And Rabbi Akiva is the one that stopped him. Omer of Nachman, we say, Rav Acha bar Yanka, Micro, what's the basis of this 20% limit? It says, Nepos v'chol asher titan li, aser aasrenu loch. Why does it say a double lotion, aser aasrenu? It comes to tell you, not only did he give Meiser 10%, but he gave Meiser another 10%. So if you add 10 and 10, you get 20%. Freikti mavaloi domi yisura basu yisura kama. However, the second 10% is not the same as the first 10%. And Rashi gives us a very simple example. If you have, for instance, you grew your tvua and you had 100 bushels, if you give 10%, now you're left with 90 bushels. If you give another 10%, you're only giving 9, because 10% of 90 is 9. So you'd only be giving 19, which would be 19%, not 20%. So again, Rashi says it could have said aser aaser. Why did it say aser aasrenu? The extra asrenu means that when he was already giving the first 10%, he was already giving the second 10% at the same time. He wasn't waiting until he was mafresh 10%. We're now to 90, and now there's only 10 out of 90. I'm sorry, 10% of 90 is 9, and there's 19 altogether. But when he devised his first 10%, he already at that time decided to give 10 plus 10, so therefore he gave 20 from the 100, and he was left with 80. These three members of Rabbi Law keep on getting smaller and smaller. Now what does that mean, he keeps on getting smaller? This is exactly what we were talking about a moment ago, that the first Rabbi Law was three man yamrim. It was Rabbi Law, Omer Ashlokish, Omer Biyosib Rab Chanina, that was three. The second Rabbi Law was just Rabbi Law, Omer Reish Lokish, and the third Rabbi Law was just Rabbi Law by himself. The Simonech, so that you should remember the order of which ones were three, down to two, down to one. Ketanim, Kosvu, Ubizbizu. The Ketanim, the youngsters, they wrote Ubizbizu, and they gave away a lot. Now, what is the simon over here? Very simply, that the first Rabbi law that we had was that a person is mechuyev to go and give mezoinis to his bonov, ubenoisav, haktanim. Oh, so that's ketanim. The second was kosvu, like we said before, that if you have a person that wrote all of his nechosav libonov, then they are mechuyev to go and support the father and the mother. So that's the kosvu. And the bizvizu is this drasha that we just had, or this takana, hamavazves ayivazves yoyse mechaymish. So therefore, you can easily remember, says the Gemara, which one was the three, which one was the two, which one was the one. The three was by the ketanim, that was takana number one. Kisvu was takana number two, we only had two. Ubizvizu was takana number three, you only had Rabbi Law by himself. And now we start a new shtickel again, talking about the konas in Usha, but it's no longer a bilah. Now it's Omer Av Yitzchak. But Usha is kinushi odem iskalgal in midnoi ad shei mesri shana bikan ve'elach yoyed imoy lechayev. That when a person has a child, and the child is not so interested in learning, the first 12 years, what you're supposed to do is go and cajole him, speak to him nicely, try to work with him, use persuasive efforts, offer him candies, etc. That you should go and learn. Rashi says, "Yigalgal imay benachas ubedvorim rakim." Speak to him nicely. Try to cajole him. Explain to your yingala, don't you want to be a talmid chacham? Don't you want to know ganshas? You got to start learning. That's until 12. When he gets to 12 years old, yored imay lechayim. Then he has to start going and getting a little bit more harsh in his methods. Rashi says, for instance, their doise b'ritzua, he may have to take out a strap once in a while. U'b'chois alechem, and he may have to go and say, you know, if you're not going to shape up, then breakfast will only be one portion of cereal and not two portions of cereal. And so on and so forth. Break the mora eini, so you're telling me that the pressure only begins at the age of 12. Eini v'omalei rab l'rav Shmuel bar Shilas. Rashi says Rav Shmuel bar Shilas was a malamed to noikois. So Rav taught him, and he told him, "Botzimi bar shis loytekabel. In your chayder, don't take any children less than 6 years old. Bar shis, when he's six, kabel bimekabelim, take him in, v'safi lei kitura, and start stuffing him like a shor." What means that you start stuffing him like a shor? That when you start teaching him Torah, Rashi uses a lotion of halata. Halata we find in the Torah as well, by Avram, that when Yishmael came, and he was, or by Esav, and they were halata, that they stuffed him. You might use that expression also like by gestopped against, that you have gis. So halata means to go and shtiparai, push the food in. Here too, at the age of six, until the age of six, keep the kid at home. At the age of six, let him come to Cheder. Now you start shtipping him, you start pushing the Torah into him. So now, on the surface, the Gemara assumed that this shtipping and pushing the Torah into him is the same as the previous that we spoke, that Yored Imoy Lechayev. So now I have a stira, because before the Gemara said, Amar Yitzchak and Ushadu Mesakin, they only start shtipping at the age of 12. And here Rav said to Rishmul Bashilas at the age of 6, start shtipping and pushing. And my answers in Safi Lei Ketura. The truth of the matter is, there's no stira whatsoever. These are two different levels of pushing a child to learn. Until the age of 6, you don't push at all. In fact, you keep him home, according to Rav, that's it, Rav Shmuel Bar Shilas. Until 6, don't even accept the child into cheder. Keep him at home. At the age of 6, he comes into cheder, and yes, go and start pushing him, but pushing him benachas, like the Gemara said before. Use persuasive efforts so that the child should go and learn. And try to push as much Torah into him as possible, but again, in a soft, nice method. However, we get to the age of 12. If the nice, persuasive efforts are not producing any fruit, then you have to start yod im lechayiv, you have to start getting a little bit more harsh. So that's pshat number one. Li bo yisei manocha pshat, loikash. Halamikra, it depends what you're talking about. Are we talking about learning chemish? Are we talking about learning mishnayis? That what? The Omer Abaye. Omeli em, my mother taught me. Whenever we have Omeli em by Abaye, we all know we don't mean the real mother, we mean the lady that was kind enough to bring him up because his mother passed away, Nebuch, in childbirth. So Omeli em, his mother taught him, Bar Shis Lamikra. When you get to 6 years old, you go into Cheder to start learning Mikra. So that's consistent with the Memra of Rav Tav Shmuel Bar Shilas, that starting the age 6, you send the kid to Chaydis to start learning Chemish. Bar Eser, when you get to 10 years old, then you start learning Mishnah. Now on the surface, that doesn't seem to answer the question, because didn't we start off that Rabbi Yitzchak said, Be'ushe Eskinu, that at the age of 12, Yorid Ima L'chayv. And here he says, Bar Eser L'mishnah. So Tosis explains, again, this is not a stira. What it's saying is, at the age of 10, you start learning with him Mishnayis, yes, but you do it Bederech Raka, in a nice, soft manner, the soft approach. When you get to 12, that's when Yorid Ima L'chayv, that's when you have to start dipping, that he should start learning really seriously, in case he is not learning. So we answered the stira. In other words, basically the stira is answered because one is talking about Mikra, one is talking about Mishnah. But now Abaye says something more in the name of his mother. When you have a yingala, a boy, when he reaches 13, then he has to start fasting a full tanith, such as on Yom Kippur, or on Tisha B'Av, a tkanza 24 hours. Upinoikis, and if you're talking about a girl, it's Bastresar, you're talking about at 12 years old. But Rashi says that what the Gemara is talking about over here is not the simple halacha. We all know that a boy at the age of Bar Mitzvah is mechuyev in all the mitzvahs, and of course he has to fast for a full 24 hours. And the same thing is for a girl at the age of 12. What the Gemara is really telling us is the halach of chinuch. And what it's saying is a boy, when he enters into his 13th year, that means that he just celebrated his 12th happy birthday, and now he's 12 and a day, and 12 and 2 days, and 12 and 3 days. So he's entering into his 13th year. Then we're machanachim that he has to go and fast the entire day. Until that point, says Rashi, we're only machanach l'sha'ois, which means if you have a boy that's only 11 or 11 and a half, you go and tell him, don't start eating breakfast at 7, 8, 9 o'clock. Wait until 10 o'clock. Wait until 12 o'clock. And so on and so forth. However, once they get to be 12 and a day, they've entered into the 13th year, then you mechanach for the entire day, 24 hours. And the same thing applies to a girl that when she is 11 years old and a day, you're mechanach that they should go and fast the entire day. After they become 13, full-fledged bar mitzvah, of course, then minatoida, they have to go and fast Yom Kippur the entire 24 hours.
And the baby's crying hearing this.
Yes, can you imagine? Maybe the baby thinks that we're talking about his age, even though he's only 2 or 3 years old.
Yeah, 11 months and a day.
Yeah, it's something like that. Something like that. If it's distracting, I'll close the door. Maybe it will be a little bit quiet.
Beautiful music.
Beautiful music? Okay. I'll be back in a second to eliminate, hopefully, or to downplay the beautiful music. I don't know how successful that was, but hopefully it'll dull the background music a drop. So we continue on. Zoki Moravaita. Since we spoke about a young Umrli M, So we have again Omer Abaye, Omer Liem. Now this is unrelated to the takanas that we had. Remember, we started with the three takanas of Rabbi Loa. Then we had a takana of Rabbi Yitzchak, Ba'ush Eskinu, about being Miskalgum Benoi. So we had this discussion back and forth. What is the proper age? 6, 10, 12, 13, etc. Now we get off a little bit on a tangent. Omer Abaye, Omer Liem. Hai Bar Shis, if you have a 6-year-old, the Tarkale Akrava, that was stung by an Akrav. Akrav is a scorpion. B'yom Edemishlam Shis, on his 6th birthday, when he finished off 6 years, Loichai Echas V'sholem, he might die from the venom of the bite or the sting of the Akrav of the scorpion. However, Rashi says, not Loichai entirely, Loichai Em Loi Berefur Beduka. You see Rashi on the same line, unless you give him a good remedy. If you give him a good remedy, a good medicine, Emiachem, he will live. Now the question, of course, is, Mayasute, what is the proper medicine for a 6-year-old who got bitten or got stung by an akra, by a scorpion? And for the Gemara, Merarta didai chivrisa b'shichra. Merarta is bile. Apparently that is very, very bitter. That's how it has a name, Merarta, from Lashon Mora or Morar. Didaya, daya, as you know, we have, is one of the oifas ha-tameyos. In fact, Rashi in Chumash says it has three names, Aya, Daya, and Ra. And in English, they call it a vulture. Chivrisa is white, so you have the bile of the white vulture. Bishichra, mix that with Sheikhar, with beer. And then, after you've done the mixture, Neshafya, go and rub that place where the scorpion stung. And after the Menishkai, and then have the child drink the mixture of the bile together with the water, and Emet Hashem, he'll have a refuah. And similarly, Hay Bar Shata, if you have a 1-year-old, Zorakli Zibura, that was stung by a bee, B'yom Edemishlam Shata, on his birthday, by the way, it's not really 100% birthday, because really it would appear to be a day before the birthday. For instance, the calendar year, the secular calendar year, is from January 1st to December 31st. So when would be the day that we finish off the year? Not the next January 1st, that's already the beginning of the next year. So it's the end of the first year, so apparently we're talking about the very conclusion before the first birthday, the day before. Anyway, if he gets such a bee sting at the age of 1, loichaya, the venom that's in a bee, even though for us adults, a bee sting in Nishka Groysis Ach, I mean, it's painful and it's bothersome, but it's certainly not normally dangerous, but for a child, 1-year-old, it could be dangerous. So Maya Sute, so what type of refuah is there? Atzavsa dedikla bimaya. You should take that tzavsa dedikla. Tzavsa dedikla is part of the bark on the outside of the dekel tree. Dekel tree is a pine, not a pine tree, it's a date tree, where you find the lulavim palm tree. Like you have in Florida, you have all those palm trees, you have lulavim at the top. So on the outside of it has such a bark that grows, or a vine on top of the bark. Anyway, you remove that, and you go and mix it with water, and then the shafia, that mixture, you go and rub it on the spot of the bee sting, the nishkai, and then you give the child to drink from that mixture, and in Yad Hashem, he will have a refuah. Now we go back for a moment to the discussion about learning with children at a young age. As Omer of Ketina, Kolamachlis is Benoi Pochus Miben Sheish. If you go and have your child enter into Cheder younger than 6 years old, it's a very poor decision, because unfortunately then that's going to be too much pressure for a young kid. Ratz Achrav, you're going to afterwards try to remedy it by running after him and giving him food and trying to fatten him up, and it's not going to help, it's not going to work. Because unfortunately, by starting him in school at such a tender age, unfortunately he's going to be a weakling. Ikriyami, but there was another version, just the opposite. Chaverev Rotzen Achrav. Because of the fact that he has an early start than everybody else, and he started learning before everyone else, then all of his chaverim are going to run after him later on. They'll never be able to attain his level of learning because he had that early start. So that's, of course, a positive thing. Utravayu Isnahu, both of them are correct. The first pshat of the fact that if you have him start cheder early, he's going to be a weakling, the cholish itaka will be weak. The gomer, on the other hand, by him starting early, he'll have an early start on everybody else, so he'll be more educated and know more than everyone. Ibo yaseimo nocha pshat, but in fact these two memories are inconsistent. If you have a child who is a weak child by nature, then don't ship him, don't push him younger than the age of 6. If you do, unfortunately, that could be very troublesome. However, if you have a gesundekind who, Baruch Hashem, is nice and strong, then yes, you can have him start learning before the age of 6, and then he will be stronger in learning than everyone else.
You put him in the Head Start program.
The Head Start program, Givaldik. Thank you, thank you. Shelley, we've missed you the last few days. It's a pleasure having you back. Zogti Morvait.
I had a chasana.
Oh, Baruch Hashem. A 3-day chasana?
Grandson.
Oh, grandson. Mazel tov, mazel tov. Lots of nachas. The grandson.
7 days to celebrate. Why only 2 shows? We're doing more. We're working at it. Day by day.
Okay.
Thank you.
And we continue on. Mazel tov, lots of nachas. We go back to the Tekonis. Usha ba'usha iskinu u'isha shemachra menechsi melug b'chayi bala u'meisa ha'bal moitzi mi'ana l'kulchoiz. Now we know by nechsi melug that those nechosim are nechosim that the wife brings into the marriage from her father's house, typically a nadin or a dowry, and what happens is these nechosim belong to her the entire marriage, the keren is hers. However, the peirois belong to the husband. So the husband gets the income throughout their married life. However, the keren belongs to her. Now, what happens if she sold that keren? Now, obviously, if and when her husband and she get divorced, or her husband passes away, then she has both the keren and the payers, and then she can do whatever she wants. What happens if she wants to go and sell these nechosim during the lifetime of the marriage? Her husband is alive, and she's alive, and they're married. Can she go and sell them? The answer is yes. She can sell them. And what would be the effect of the sale? That as long as they're married, then all the payers, that income stream, instead of going to her, will go to that third party. I mean, that's the reason why she sold it. And therefore, she gets the money up front, and that third party will have to work the fields and make the money, and then he'll get that income stream. But now what happens if and when, chas v'shalom, what happens if she passes away? In other words, and at this point, what happens now? So, l'choyr, you can say the marriage is at an end, and therefore maybe these nechosim go to that third party, because after all, the third party bought it from him. During her lifetime, she only had an income stream, she gets the income stream. Now that she passed away, then that third party gets the keren as well. And she died. About moitzim yam lekuchas, about can go and take it back from the lekuchas, and the Rashi says that the reason is because we give him the status of a loykeach, the husband. Not only is he a yoyrish from his wife, he's a loykeach, and since his status as loykeach began when they got married, so he is a loykeach that is first on line before the other loykeach who bought the property from the wife. So therefore, he has the right to go and take it back from him. Yes. What's the question?
You said that during the marriage she sells the
I'm sorry. I misspoke. Thank you. She doesn't have the income stream throughout the marriage. The husband has the income stream. You're 100% right. My apologies. He continues to get the income. What she can do is she can go and sell the keren, which is the property, but the purchaser has no interest in the property because, after all, it's the husband getting the income stream. Thank you, Barry, for correcting me. After, however, she passes away, presumably then the lekeach says, oh, this is what I've been waiting for the last 20 years. Now I'm going to get the keren of this property. I've never gotten any benefit, but now I've got the benefit. Then what happens is, in Usha the Wumasakin, that unfortunately for that lekeach, the husband takes it back. Why does he take it back? Because he's first in line in terms of lekeach. Thank you, Barry, for pointing that out. Says Yimar Asher of Yitzchak Bar Yosef the Rebavo. Dave Koi beechlusa the Usha. If Yitzchak Bar Yosef and Rebavo were standing together, echlusa usually means a population, which would mean a populated area, like in the marketplace. But Rashi says it just means Asifas Bnei Adam. There was a crowd that gathered, 5, 10, 20 people standing around, and in that crowd, Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Yosef said, Rabbo, Amalei, Man Morad Ishmaita De Usha. Can you tell me who's the one that taught this memra about Usha? In other words, we had a few lines ago, someone said, B'usha Iskinu, or Isha Shemachra. Who's the one that said it? Amalei, that was Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Chanina, like it says, Tak in the Gemara. Tana Minei Arboin Zimnin, V'domilei Keman De Manchalei B'Kisisei. He repeated it and learned it again and again 40 times so that he should remember it. Now Rashi says that he should remember that the Mora Dishmaitza, the one that taught this, was Rabbi Yossi Barab Chanina. On the other hand, however, the Marshal says in the back of the Gemara, it's not so much only Rabbi Yossi Chanina, but also the substance of this Takana, that Isha Shemach V'Nechzi Baal, V'Nechzi Maluk, that is, Habal Moitzi Miyad Alekuchai. So it wasn't just that Tanum Hinei, the person who said this memra, but also what the memra itself was all about. And he learned it so well that it was as if now it was in his pocket, that he knew it precisely and perfectly. I think it's Maram Shif in the back of the Gemara that says, why does it say Demanchalei Bekisisei? Other Gemaras use the expression Demanchalei Bekufsei. It's as if it's his box or his basket. Why does it say in his pocket? It comes to tell you that not only Tanamine Arboin Zinin, he asked him to repeat it 40 times. In other words, Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Yosef was afraid he was going to forget who was the Baal HaMemra, Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina, and, or like the Marshal, he's going to forget what the Takonis Usha was, and he asked him, can you teach it to me? And he said, teach it again and again and again 40 times. But even after that, he put it into his pocket. And just like when we put money in our pockets, or we put keys in our pockets. The nature of a person is that from time to time he touches his pocket to make sure that the money or the keys is in his pocket, it hasn't fallen out. Here too, even after the 40 times, he kept on chazering and chazering time and time again to make sure he wouldn't forget it. Okay, now we go back to the beginning of the Takonois. Remember, the Takonois that we had yesterday was that a person, that in Usha there were Masakin, that a person should be Zon as Bonov as Benois of Kishahen Ketanim. And then the Gemara said, although we don't paskin that way, we don't force the person, but we do talk to him in a persuasive manner and tell him that it's not ethical, it's not moral, not to go and support your children. Unless the person is so wealthy, then we say to him, Mister, we're going to force you. It's no better or no worse than if these are strangers and you have to give tzedakah. You better give tzedakah. And therefore, going and being mefarnes your own children and giving them food is also, if you will, a form of tzedakah, where then the bezin can force you, if you have means, to go and give food to your children. So since we explained that that's similar to tzedakah, our Gemara now brings a pasuk, Ashrei shoimrei mishpat oisei tzedakah b'chaleis. Praiseworthy is a person who is careful about justice, and oisei tzedakah b'chaleis, he's constantly doing tzedakah b'chaleis at all times. Now, how do you give tzedakah at all times? After all, you don't give tzedakah 24 hours a day. If you're constantly giving food to your children, and you give them not only three meals a day, but you tell them the refrigerator is open and they can go and take whatever they want at any time. So that's a form of oisei tzedakah b'chaleis, supporting your children when they are ketanim. Rav Shimon ben Nachmani Amar zeh megadol yosel yisoyim b'tzeich beitzu masiyah. This is a person that really goes lefnim mishur sadin, and he's megadol yosel yisoyim. He takes in orphans into his home, umasiyah, and he marries them off. That is oisei tzedakah b'chaleis, that he's raising these Yisoyim and that he marries them off. And now we have a similar pasuk. Hoyin va'oishu bebeisit kosei oimedes lo'ad. The Gemara is bothered a little bit by the Lashon HaPasuk, because it's hoyin va'oishu bebeisit. He has, Baruch Hashem, a fortune, ashiras, in his home. And his tzedakah oimedes lo'ad, that remains with him forever. Now, the Gemara assumes that if a person gives tzedakah, then by definition, there's going to be a decline in the hoin va'oishu bevesoi, because after all, you're taking some of your assets and you're using them for tzedakah. So how does that work? Rav Huna and Rav Chisda, both of them have a similar interpretation. Chad omer zeh haloyim et toira umalamda. When we're talking about tzidkosei medis lo'ad, it's talking about a person that goes and teaches, he learns Torah and teaches others Torah. This doesn't cause any decline in the Hoyin Ba'oishu B'nei Yisrael, because he's not giving monetary tzedakah. He's giving tzedakah from his time and from his body, that he shares his knowledge with others. That's the tzidkosei medis lo'ad, that remains with him forever, and the fortune remains intact at home. A similar pshat. A person that writes a Tanakh and then goes and lends it to everybody else. Okay? So by lending it to everybody else, he's doing tzedakah oimedes lad, but that doesn't cause any decline in his hoin v'oishe b'veisai, because his assets remain totally intact, and the tzedakah is not in the form of giving tzedakah, but in the form of lending svarim to others. Urevanim levenecha shalom a Yisrael. What is this banim levenecha shalom? I'm Rabbi Shimon Levi. Kibin shebanim levenecha shalom a Yisrael. Toli asit lidei chalitza v'yibam. If you are zoiche that your children have children, that Baruch Hashem none of them are childless, in such a case you never have to worry about the potential rift that occurs with a yavam and yavama. Not that always there's a rift. Sometimes the yavam and yavama could like each other. But often, unfortunately, they are at loggerheads, and therefore you're going to have to require a chalitza. Maybe he'll want a yibam, and she'll want a chalitza. Maybe she'll want a yibam, and he'll want a chalitza. It can only cause problems. So if your banim have banecha, or if your banecha have banim, then shalom al Yisrael, you don't have to worry about chalitza and yibam issues. Reb Shmuel bar Nachmani Amar Kimin shebanim levanecha, shalom al dayana Yisrael, v'li asli in tzuyeh. Another concern is putting aside yibam. Let's assume there is no Yavam, for instance. If a person has children, then the Dayanim don't have to worry about who is going to Yarshin a Yerusha. If, however, a person passes away childless, then you have 12 people standing online that want the Yerusha. The brothers of the Nifter, and the sisters of the Nifter, and the father, and the grandfather, and the uncles, and the aunts, and everybody wants to get a piece of the action. Since there are no children, it becomes a little bit problematic who is going to get the Yerusha, and therefore, if you have banim levanecha, shalom al Yisrael, everything is fine and dandy. Okay, back in the Mishnah we learned that a father does not have a chiyuv to go and feed his daughter's food. Remember we learned the Tosis yesterday that starting from the age of six, everybody agrees you have to go and feed your ketani. From the age of six, our Mishnah said it's not a chovah, it's not an obligation to go and feed your daughters or your sons. However, it's a mitzvah, it's a good tzach, but it's not a chovah. And then you remember Rabbi Loz ben Azariah darshened the loshen of the ksuba, because the ksuba says that a person does have to support his daughters. Said Rabbi Loz ben Azariah, both in every ksuba you have the standard terminology for both the ksuvas bonin dichrin and the ksuvas bonin nukvan. And just like the ksuvas bonin dichrin says that the boys, they go and get Yerusha, the achar may be esrim, after the person passes away. So to the daughters, they get mezoinis after the person passes away, but not as long as the father is alive. So that was the medrash darsh of the chacham and blazer menazai. So now zok the gemara on the amid base. Yosef, Rav Yosef, Kamed, Rav Amnuna, Yosef, Rav Amnuna, Ve'ka'amar. Rav Amnuna was giving a shiur. Rav Yosef was sitting in front, presumably in the first row, in front of Rav Amnuna. What did Rav Amnuna say? Kishem she'en abonim yorshim elemen akarka, kach en abonis nizoynes elemen akarka. Just like bonim, when they get Yerusha from a father, they only get Yerusha of karka. So too, when it says in the ksuba that the bonos are nizoinos, they only get minakark. So if the father left over a bank account with $1 million, neither the boys get from that cash, nor do the daughters get mizoinos from that cash. As soon as Rav Amnuna said that, there was a koil rash godoil. Many people started agitating. All the people who were attending the shir, all the talmidim, avash is from a loshin of started making a lot of noise. They started, I don't know if they were screaming, but they all started agitating and said, how could that be? What does that mean? Zok the Gemara. The Shavik Ari Hudi Yarsele Bonit Le Shavik Ari Le Yarsele Bonit. Are you telling me the din of Yerusha of Bonim that they get Yerusha is only if there's Karka? If you have a person who was not in real estate or sold all of his real estate, but he had Baruch Hashem cash and securities and jewelry and other valuables, you're going to say that the children don't Yarshin that? Does that make sense? Omli Rav Yosef said, Rav Yosef said to the Oilam, V'dilma k'suvas banim dichen kamar. Maybe the Rebbe, Rav Amnuna, when he was saying his shir, he didn't mean that boys don't yarshin from metaltlin. What he meant is the special effect of the k'suvas banim dichen, that has to be minakarka. Now what's the k'suvas banim dichen? As we explained yesterday in some detail, that when a husband and wife get married, the wife is concerned that if she is wealthy, and she's bringing in a large dowry, and then ultimately the husband passes away, you know what's going to happen? That dowry is going to go and be split with the children of all the wives. And this person may have had one or two or three other wives. He may have, you know, multiple wives. And she is therefore concerned, uh-oh, my valuable dowry that I'm bringing in from my father is going to go and be split with the children of the other wives. They don't deserve a penny of that. So therefore, the halacha is shaitan, one of the tanoi ksuva is that the bon and dichrin, you have a lichem inoi, they're going to go and yarshin her ksuba, her dowry, instead of all of the other boys in the family. So says Agamah, the din of ksuva's bon and dichrin is only referring to if that father left over, if he gave a dowry of karka, if he gave a dowry of cash or other items, then there is no such din that the bon and dichrin have priority or preference over the other boys. So that says Rav Yosef out loud, that's probably what the Rebbe Rav Amnuna meant. When Rav Amnuna heard that, Amalei, he praised Rav Yosef and he said, Mar, the Gavaraba, who you're the Maikamina, my Talmud Rav Yosef, who's such a Gavaraba, such a gross mensch, he knew what we were talking about. The rest of you didn't know what we were talking about, but Rav Yosef understood what I was saying. Okay. Amr b'chir bar Yosef, Rav Zon mechiti di aliyah. There was once a dintoyer that came in front of Rav, as far as who has to support whom. In particular, we were talking about a girl whose father passed away, and she's suing the Yorshim, meaning the boys, to go and give her support. And Rav Paskin, go and give her support, mechiti. Chiti, of course, is from wheat. The aliyah from the aliyah. So now the question is, what exactly means zon mechitet aliyah? And the Gemara gives two interpretations. The simple pshat, of course, would be zon means to give mezoinis mechitet aliyah from a storehouse in which he has chitin, in which he has wheat. So therefore he gave the daughter three meals a day or two meals a day based on these chitin. However, that's not so simple, because the word zon has a broader interpretation. Not only mezoina is food, but it also means parnosa. And parnosa here doesn't mean that he gave her a job, but parnosa means that he put away funds for a nadin. The parnosa that we're talking about over here is for a nadunya, that she should be able to get married. So Gemara says, Yiboylo, parnosa havia, when we say zon mechita dalia, do we mean that he was putting away that Rav Paskin, that the boys have to put away a nadin for their sister or their half-sister? Umay aliyah, what means aliyah? Me'iluya di av, from what the father's normal approach and attitude would be vis-a-vis giving a nadin. Ukirishmul di ameshmul le parnasa shamim ba'av, that when it comes to giving parnasa, that means a nadin to the daughter after the father passed away, Shaman means we try to do an assessment of what the father would do. So Drashi, what does that mean? Oyimdin lefi vatra nusay shalav o lefi kamta nusay. It's about 8-9 lines before the wide lines down below. We try to assess the father. We know the father when he was alive. If he was very generous with his children, then we assume that he would have put away a very nice, substantial nadin for his daughter to get married. On the other hand, if he was a miserly type, the presumption is that he would have given a very small amount for a dowry. So the peasant has to make that decision, and that's what Rav was deciding. This aliyah that we mean is, he would decide what the father's attitude would be to giving a large or a small nadin for his daughter. So that's one pshat, perhaps, in what Rav was doing. Oy dilma, mezoyni mamish. Or perhaps the word chiti, zon mechita aliyah, means a pasha pshat. Zon means mezoynis. Aye, what it means me'aliyah? Midvarim toivim shenemar ba'aliyah. From the good words that were said in the aliyah out in the attic. It doesn't really mean the attic, it really means the second floor. Yom Rav Yitzchak bar Yosef ba'aliyah, hiskinu shehu b'nois nizoynis ben ha'metaltlin. As you know, the Gemara from time to time brings stories that took place in an aliyah, and usually it talks about halachis that were taught in an aliyah, like we had in the beginning of Masechta Shabbos, that the Yudches Dover, that they were Masakin Hilchos Tuma, those were done by aliyah. And we find elsewhere that when the Bezdin had to go and decide halachis that got me either Kiddush HaChodesh or Ibr Shana, that they did it by aliyah. Aliyah apparently was a nice, quiet place where there was no disturbance, and they were able to focus their attention and paskin shailis and do what they had to do. So, says the Gemara, perhaps what we meant when we said that Rav was zon, he decided that this girl should get mechiti, that means she should go and get food from the chitim, the aliyah, based on the psak that was given in the aliyah. What was the psak of Yitzchak bar Yosef in the aliyah? Or what did Yitzchak bar Yosef say? What happened by aliyah? Eskinu shebonos nizoynis min ha'metaltlin, that you do get from metaltlin, not only from karka. So although we said at the top of the yomit that Rav Amnuna said that just like the bonim only yarshim in a karka, the ksuv is bonim dichrit, the girls only get the ksuv is bonim nukvan min a karka. But if Yitzchak bar Yosef was mesakim baliyah, that they get even from the metaltlin. Says Gemara Toshima piyodi de Rabbanoi achva de Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, in the hands of Rabbanoi, who is the brother of Chiya bar Abba, ha metaltlin di asmi. He was the apotropos taking care of the metaltlin that belonged to Yisayim. Also the comment is Shmuel, and now it comes from Shmuel, and now the question is, we have to go and give mezoinis to the children, in particular, to go and give mezoinis to the girls. Can we give them from metaltlin? Or perhaps, like we said at the top of the Amid, only from karka. It's armalei. So Shmuel told him, zil zoin, go and give mezoinis from these metaltlin diasmi. My love, the mezoinik kavirzei bar Yosef svirelei. Perhaps what we meant by saying go and give zoin, giving mezoinis from the metaltlin, he's learning a kripsi by Yosef, that Yitzchak bar Yosef said by aliyah that hitkinu shi benois bonois nizoinis men ametaltlin, and therefore you have a right that Shmuel follows this psak of Yitzchak bar Yosef. T'maloi nishkaraya, hazam lepanaza ave. That this story, when Shmuel said, yes, Rabbanoi, please hand over some of the metaltlin to this young lady, it was not for purposes of mezoinos. By mezoinos, perhaps, it's like we said at the top of the Yomit, maybe you can only get from the karka. But here we're talking about parnasa. Parnasa, shalom ba'av. And how is shalom ba'av? Like we said before, what was the father's attitude? Did he give a generous dowries, or did he give miserly dowries? Says the Gemara, "Have uvda b'ne'edah, the don died in ne'edah." There was a story that occurred in ne'edah, and that's how the dayanim in ne'edah paskin. B'pumbadisa, the agvi Rav Chana bar Bizna. Same thing in Pumbadisa. Ulter Rav Chana bar Bizna, he went and extracted from the yorshim funds, even minha metalklin, for purposes of parnasa, for purposes of dowry. Omer Rav Nachman got upset, and he said, no, zilu hadru, give back the money to the Orshim, give back the metaltlin, because you can only be goiva, the parnasa, and the mezoinis min akarkois, just like Rav Amnuna said at the top of the Amit, the Eloi, and if you're not going to listen to me, magvinu lechul, lapad naichu min haichu, I'm going to go and be goiva, I'm going to go and take away your homes from you, and we're going to foreclose on your own houses where you live in, your residences, and we're going to go and take the money and pay back the yorshim for the money that you took from them. Rav Ami Rabasi, sovel amazim in metalkli. Rav Ami Rabasi also wanted to go and give support, mezoinis, or perhaps parnasa, meaning not mimetalti from metaltlin. Omer Rabbi Yankel Bar Idi, milta Rabbi Yochanan Rish Lakish le'ovdu ba'ovda, atin avdin be'ovda. So Rabbi Yankel Bar Idi was reprimanding them and was saying to Rabbi Bravasi, if we would have found in the past that Rabbi Yochanan Rish Lakish would have so paskind to go and take from metaltlin, no, see, you're following in their footsteps. But we never heard that Rabbi Yochanan Rish Lakish did that. Presumably, they were very, very careful only to take minat karkois, like we said, b'shem Rabam Nuna at the top of the Amud. So therefore, you shouldn't go and try to do new breakthroughs. You should go and follow what Rabbi Yochanan Rish Lakish said and did. Similarly, Rabbi Loza Sobel amazing metaltan. He also wanted to go and give him metaltan. Om lefanu Rabbi Shimon ben El Yochim. Rabbi, he said to Rabbi Loza, Rabbi, yodei ani b'choshe ein midas adin ata oise el midinas emidas rachmanis. I know that you're not following the letter of the law. You're going lefnim mishur sadin because you have rachmanis on this poor girl, and therefore you want to make sure that she has food or that she has parnasa for a nadin, and that's why you're taking from the metaltlin. I want you to know, Rabbi, I'm afraid eleshema yiru hatalidim v'yikva locha ledoyreis. When they're going to see that you're taking money from metaltlin, they're going to say that that's the halacha. That's not a lefnim mishur sadin. That's not a rachmanis case. That this is the halacha. But you know and I know this is not the halacha, and therefore we don't want to mislead future generations into thinking that the halacha is that you're goyve even from metaltlin. Ha'u deos v'kamid of Yosef. There was a person who came from Yosef. Omelahu, and he said to them, Havullah, go and give her, again, the Zoynis, or the Parnasa, would you give me tamri d'al budya? A budya is a mat which is on the floor. And he says, give to her from the tamarim, from the dates, which are on the mat. Which sounds like we're going and giving her mezoinis, or nadin, from metalkalin. Because those are, that's the ochel that was already harvested from the tree, and now is lying there on the mat. Omli abaya ilu bal choyvava, ki haigavnam yehavi yoyv leymar. What happens if it wouldn't be a ksubas isha? It would be a bal choyv. Would you allow the bal choyv to go and be toreif from these tamarim? After all, bal choyv only can go after mishubadim, which means only after lekuchais that bought properties, real estate. Here you're allowing to go even from metalkalin. Do you ever hear something like that? So how do you like allow the ksubas isha to be taken from metalkalin? Not the ksubas isha, the mezoinis. For the daughter, or the parnasa for the daughter, how are you allowed to go and take the metalkalin? Omaleis, he told them, the chazi lebudya kamina. What does that mean? Those that are still attached to the tree, but are ripe enough that you can harvest them. You see the last Rashi. The chazi lebudya hakroivois ligdor vadayin mechubaris. They're still attached to the tree, but today, tomorrow, we're about to go and harvest them, and therefore, we're going to put them on the budya. Presumably, the budya over here was mats that they placed underneath the trees so that when they were cutting the dates would fall on the mats, and then when they finished doing all the harvesting, they would presumably take the mats and tie them together or whatever, like sackcloth, and move them from one location to another, or they leave them there and have the sun afterwards dry them out so that they would be dried dates. Anyway, so therefore, we're talking about fruit which is still mechubar lekarka, and therefore has a din of karka, not a din of metaltlin. Freiti Gemara, soif soif, kol oimid ligzois ki gozuz dami. On the side is another girsa, kol oimid ligdor ki gozuz dami. Based on this Rashi that says, hakroivis ligdor, that's the Rashi on the Amid Beis. The ligdor means to go and cut, as you know, we've had this in the past, that when it comes to harvesting, the Hebrew language, Lashon HaKodesh, is a rich language, and therefore you have different lishoinos for different things that you're harvesting. You have, for instance, when it comes to grain, you talk about ketzira. When you're talking about grapes, you talk about bitzira. And here, when you're talking about tomorrow, we talk about gedira. So therefore, soif kol oimed ligzois or ligdor ki godor dami, and that being the case, it should still have a din of metaltlin, even though technically they're attached to the tree. But everybody knows it's just a question of minutes or hours or days that you're going to go and cut it. Everything more tzrichal adikla kamina. I'm talking about that at that particular time, the tamarim could have used another few days or a week or two on the branches of the tree, and they would have grown plumper and nicer and better, 100%. However, you could, if you want them, go and cut them a little prematurely, and then they'll ripen off the tree, just like nowadays. All the fruit that we get in the market, they didn't just cut it a minute ago. This was cut, presumably, hours, days, weeks ago. And the reason why they're still hard is because they were even harder when you went and cut them from the tree. You could have left them on the tree longer, but then they would have spoiled when they got to the marketplace. So therefore they went and did a preemptive strike and they harvested a little bit prematurely. And that's what he's paskening here on the bottom of the Amud Beis, Rav Yosef, that those fruits which are still attached to the tree, which could use some more ripening and growing on the tree, but if you wanted to, they are ripe enough that you could cut them already now and have them on the budja, put them on the mat. Oh, so therefore they have a status of karka because of the fact that they could still use the further growth. However, the reason why I'm calling it al-budja, because they are ripe enough that if you wanted to, you could already cut them and allow them to fall onto the mats. So bottom line is you have no raya that they allowed for collections for the girl, for the yasayma, for either nadin or mezoinis min hametaltlin, because all these cases are talking about taka karka. We'll stop over here, Rabbi, to be continued, Mi'at Hashem, tomorrow. Thank you all for joining. Welcome back, Shelley, and Mazel Tov once again.